This is an NPR News special. I'm Neil Conan in Des Moines with Democratic candidates Carol Moseley Braun, Joe Lieberman, Dennis Kucinich, John Kerry, Richard Gephardt, and Howard Dean. Congressman Kucinich, you've called to get all U.S. troops out of Iraq in 90 days. How will you convince the international community to step in and fill the void? Right now, the United Nations doesn't have so much as an office in Baghdad.
Well, we understand clearly why the U.N. isn't involved right now, because the U.S. spurned their involvement in inspections. And we know the U.N. doesn't have any incentives. What I'm talking about is providing the U.N. with an incentive. And that incentive would be that the United States would give up ambitions to control the oil, turn that over to the U.N., so the U.N. would handle that on an interim basis on behalf of the Iraqi people until the Iraqi people are self-governing. The second part of my plan is that the United States would turn over to the U.N. the contracting process. So the U.N., there will be no more Halliburton sweetheart deals, there will be transparency in contracting, no more contracts going to administration favorites, and the U.N. would handle that on behalf of the Iraqi people until the Iraqi people are able to take over. The next thing we would do is have the United States renounce any interest in privatization. That would go a long way to getting confidence of the world community. And the final thing we have to do to get an agreement is to have the United Nations handle the cause of governance in Iraq, the construction of a new constitution, and elections. These are the preconditions which would enable UN peacekeepers to come in and bring our troops home. And I'm the only one in this campaign who is calling for the UN to come in and the U.S. to get out, and that would happen within 90 days of the approval of my plan.
Governor Dean, the target date for an American handover in Iraq is looming. This administration seems determined to make the July 1st deadline. How stable do the government and security in Iraq need to be for the United States to hand over?
Certainly more stable than they are right now. I have grave concerns that, once again, political motives are overcoming common sense. I didn't want to go into the Iraq in the first place. I thought it was a mistake. I thought that that Saddam Hussein did not pose the kind of danger to the United States that, say, the Soviet Union did. But now that we're there, if we pull out precipitously, we may end up with a much greater danger. Al-Qaeda was not in Iraq before, but they are now, almost certainly. And if we pull out precipitously, or if we give the turn over the Iraqi government to the Iraqis precipitously, and Al-Qaeda establishes a foothold in Iraq, we have a much more serious problem in terms of our defense than we did before. So I think the first thing we need is elections. The Iraqi council needs to represent Iraqi people. Many of the people are good people on the Iraqi council, but some of them are not. And if they're going to write a new constitution, they're going to have to feel that the Iraqis, the Iraqi people are going to have to feel that constitution is written by Iraqis for Iraqis, and because they were sent to write a constitution on behalf of Iraqis. So I think first elections, then handover, and I think the timetable for July 1st, the idea they're going to have a constitution ready by July 1st is an idea that I think is unlikely and mostly driven by Karl Rove's political advice, which I don't think is particularly good in foreign policy.
So what would your timetable be?
You don't have a timetable in something like this. You leave when you can. I'm with Dennis. I don't believe we can pull out in 90 days. I believe we should pull out as soon as we can, but I can't give you – it's not responsible to give you a deadline because there's work to be done, and until the work is done, we can't leave.
Congressman Gephardt, you said this spring that you felt sure the United States would find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. You, of course, were not alone in saying that. But you've also said you did not feel misled when the head of the CIA assured you about WMDs. Why not?
Well, I didn't just listen to George Bush. I talked to many people at the CIA, including the director. I talked to people that had been in the Clinton administration and the security apparatus, and they all shared the same view, that they were very, very likely that Saddam Hussein either had weapons or components of weapons or the ability to quickly make weapons. So on that basis, I made the decision I made, and I made it because I thought it was the right thing to do. I've said from the beginning, you can't pull politics into this. You got to do what it takes to keep the people safe. Now, if weapons are never found, or components are never found, or the capacity to make them are never found, then we need to examine why the intelligence was wrong, if it was wrong. And it's why I've called for an outside blue ribbon commission to do this, so that we can improve our intelligence capacity for the future. I think that's a very essential part of this whole deal.
Ambassador Moseley Braun, does it matter if the weapons of mass destruction are found at this point? What are the implications both for American credibility and for wherever those weapons may be?
I don't think this administration has any credibility when it comes to this issue. They have pandered to fear and, frankly, just missed the point altogether from the beginning in regards to an appropriate response to the tragedy of September 11th. Instead of continuing to search out bin Laden, instead of continuing to go after al-Qaeda, instead of doing those things that would make the American people safe on the ground, helping the first responders to put in infrastructure and police and fire and hospitals and the like, instead of doing those things, instead we got duct tape and plastic sheeting and terror alerts at the bottom of our screen and a misadventure going in to Iraq based on intelligence that at the time, I have a hard time believing anybody really, really believed in. Be that as it may, it's done. And so the question now is, where do we go from here? I think that we need to come out as soon as we can. Whether they find weapons of mass destruction now or not, I don't think will make all that much difference because we've got our young men and women in harm's way. But we come out as soon as we can, but do it in a way that allows for the reestablishment of civil society in Iraq.
Senator Kerry, Pakistani officials are accused of trading nuclear weapons technology to other countries, including Iran, North Korea, and, as we heard today, possibly to Libya as well. Pakistan is also an essential American ally in the war on terrorism, and if you look at the map, it's crucial to any continuing operations in Afghanistan. How do you balance those two issues?
It's complicated, but you you have to balance them, and it's even more complicated than that. There have been two attempts on the life of President Musharraf. The specter of an Islamic radical state with nuclear weapons is unacceptable for the world. And that is what is at risk in Pakistan today. Pakistan has, frankly, misled the United States and the world with respect to its proliferation responsibilities for years. I remember meeting in Washington with President Zia, and he lied to my face about what they were doing with respect to nuclear weapons, and that's when we put sanctions in place on Pakistan as a consequence. I believe that you have to walk a very fine line, but I am convinced we can be tougher with Pakistan. There are steps that we could take now to deal with the northwest component where Osama bin Laden is. We know he's up there. We have not pushed hard enough, and I think there are combinations of initiatives we could take with India that would also help us resolve the tensions in that area.
Some follows, Ambassador Braun.
Senator Kerry is exactly right. When Benazir Bhutto was president, she swore directly to us that there was no nuclear rising going on, and we saw the O-rings on the boat that were on the Chinese boat in Karachi's harbor. The fact of the matter is Musharraf overthrew a democratically elected government there. We have to work with the Pakistanis, but be very clear about the fact that our interests and their interests may not be coherent. There are rumors even that bin Laden is hanging out in the Northwest Territories there. So the fact of the matter is we have to, take advantage of our, we have to relationship build even with bad people, but at the same time we have to be very clear about who it is we're dealing with.
And Governor Dean, you wanted to get in.
I just want to bring up one other point about this. As we sit here, the President of the United States is refusing to have bilateral negotiations with the North Koreans, who almost certainly have a bomb already. That is, this president is about to allow North Korea to become a nuclear power. The danger in that is not that the North Koreans will immediately attack us. The real danger is that they will do what Pakistan is accused of. They'll sell that weaponry to terrorists or to other countries like Libya or Pakistan for hard currency. That is a major national security threat, and this president is not defending this country the way he ought to be by refusing to engage in those kinds of deliberations, because the hardliners in this administration believe somehow North Korea is going to fall. Well, if they don't fall of their own accord and they end up with nuclear weapons, that's a pretty serious security risk for the United States of America.
Congressman Kucinich.
We have to consider the implications of this administration's policy of nuclear first strike and of developing new nuclear weapons, which was enunciated in their nuclear posture review. Once the administration took that position, it lost credibility with the world community to ask any nation to disarm. As President of the United States, I would lead the way towards reasserting the primacy of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which calls for the United States and all nuclear nations to get rid of their nuclear weapons and for the non-nuclear nations not to develop them. That's how we can regain credibility. That's how we can help secure the world.
And Congressman Gephardt.
Back on Pakistan, I think this administration has failed a lot in doing something to stop the Saudi support for madras schools in especially Pakistan that is producing young terrorists coming forward. You've now had two attacks on Musharraf's life. This is one of the most dangerous countries in the world. They have nuclear power. This president is not doing enough to see to it that we don't face the imposition of nuclear weapons from other countries like Pakistan to the terrorists and finding their way in the United States.
And I'll get to you just in a second, but I wanted to follow Senator Lieberman, but I did want to follow up with Congressman Gephardt. You and others have criticized the institutions of the madrasas, which you say are teaching anti-Western values. Where do we get off telling other countries how to run their schools?
When you're teaching people to be terrorists, when you're advocating behavior, which is really terrorism, I think the whole world has a stake in changing that educational system. This is putting lives at stake all over the world. This is a manufacturing facility of terrorism. And we have to, for the whole world has to take a stand against this. And it's being funded in large part by some members of the Saudi society. And we have to take a hard stand against it and get it to change, get it to move.
And now, Senator Lieberman.
Yeah, thanks. Who would have guessed that Pakistan would have brought forth each of us to offer a comment? Let me make 2 points about this. The first is that the most significant threat we face to American security and American lives in the coming period of history is from fanatical Islamic terrorism. They attacked us brutally on September 11, 2001, but Osama bin Laden, in his most insane moments, does not contemplate conquering the United States of America. More likely targets are Islamabad, Pakistan, and Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. So working with General Musharraf, not perfect, is very important to our security. Secondly, finally, this administration has been woefully disengaged from playing the kind of constructive mediating role we should be playing between Pakistan and India to resolve and mediate those conflicts, which will be in everybody's interest.
Senator Kerry, then we'll move on to another part of the world.
Well, at the end of my comment, when I ran out of time, I raised the India issue. The United States, this administration, has been negligent, absent from the effort to put on the global agenda, proliferation as a whole. We should have purchased all of the loose nuclear material, fissionable material in Russia today. We should have taken the initiative long ago, recognizing the Islamic realities in Pakistan, to have worked with India to create a nuclear oversight capacity so that if there were an assassination or there were an overthrow, we know that the nuclear weapons can't fall in the hands of terrorists. This is one of the most glaring weaknesses in this administration's entire foreign policy, and they have left the world at much greater risk, including, obviously, the United States of America. What? They are not making America safer, Neil, and I believe I bring to this race the deepest level of foreign policy experience and of involvement in arms control that can help to deal with these issues so that we, in fact, fight a legitimate war on terror.
Governor Dean wanted to get in on this.
One quick point about this, since we're talking about Islamic terrorists. There is a civil war going on, but it's not between the West and Islam. It's inside Islam between the radicals and the moderates. And this administration continually acts to strengthen the radicals inadvertently. I think, in response to Dick's answer about the schools, everybody, including moderate Muslims, has an interest in making sure that the radicals are not teaching small children to hate Americans, Christians, Jews, and moderate Muslims. And that is the place that we have to start. I totally agree with the comments that have been made about the Saudis. We cannot afford to have them teaching hate to the next generation of suicide bombers and terrorists.
How do you convince them not to teach hate to the... How do you convince them to do that? How?
We have to make it economically not worth their while to continue to do what they're doing.
Stop buying their oil?
Well, that would be a terrific start. A renewable energy policy would go a long way to defending the United States of America. This president doesn't seem to think renewable energy exists.
Ambassador Mosley Braun.
Well, some of us have a little foreign policy experience also, John, but the point needs to be made that it has happened before that we have intervened. You asked the question about how can you teach people what to teach their children in their schools. Well, after World War II, we did as much for Germany as well as Japan.
After conquering those countries.
But the point is we engaged to make certain that the kind of militarism that happened at that level was ended. And I think that argues well for our ability to use our diplomacy in a variety of ways to begin to create another kind of culture and a sense of America in these parts of the world.
Congressman Kucinich.
What credibility do we have as a nation trying to teach peace when we're involved in a war against Iraq at this very moment? in the ongoing occupation, in trying to control the oil and privatize the company, the country. The way that we teach peace is through example. We need to set aside policies of unilateralism and preemption. We need to set aside policies of nuclear first strike. And we need to engage the world fearlessly and confidently once again. Not the America of duct tape and plastic, but the America of Francis Scott Key's land of the free, home of the brave.
And I promise this will be the last one, Senator Lieberman.
Okay, I wanted to speak about Saudi Arabia. How do we convince them to stop supporting the madrassas? Because it's in their interest. Because, you know, this is a classic case. You try to ride the back of the tiger, he's going to eat you up. If they don't stop the spread of radical Islam, they're going to be overthrown. The great victory that we will win in the war against terrorism is not just to capture and kill bin Laden, but it is to empower the great majority of Muslims to live better, freer lives. And we can only do that if the leadership, too often despotic, often sitting on top of gravely impoverished people, will allow us to help them open up. I've proposed an international Marshall Plan for the Muslim world, very different from the do-nothing approach of the Bush administration.
Senator Kerry, I did want to move on to another part of the world. Taiwan has scheduled what some are describing as a provocative referendum as a sign of restiveness, and some fear that it could lead them toward a policy of independence. When it comes down to it, will you stand with the rambunctious Democrats in Taipei or with the autocrats in Beijing?
You're asking me?
Yes, sir.
The United States has always had a one-China policy, notwithstanding how terrible we may understand their regime to be. And that has been a Republican president, Democrat president policy alike. I think it is the right policy. At the same time, no president could possibly allow Taiwan to slip backwards from the democracy that it has achieved. And what we have succeeded in doing through the years is maintaining a balance, a sort of what people have called a purposeful, constructive ambiguity, where we've left it uncertain as to precisely what steps we'd take, but we've made it clear we will not tolerate any kind of invasion, any kind of effort to move backwards. I think now is time for us to also be strong with Taiwan and make it clear that while we are supportive of the democracy and while we recognize the society they've built in a capitalist society, we are not going to permit them to declare independence, that would be unacceptable. And I think the way we resolve it is to continue to push, as we did with Hong Kong, Macau, and other places, for a one China, two systems, and work through over the course of the future.
Senator Lieberman.
America is always strongest in the world when we stand by our principles, and the bedrock principle is freedom and democracy. So, yes, China's big. We have to work to manage our relations with them. Taiwan is small, but China is not a democracy. Taiwan is, and we have to stand with that rambunctious democracy. I was startled when the Bush administration, because the president of Taiwan, in the midst of a political campaign, when we know here people sometimes do unusual things, called for a referendum on whether the Chinese missiles pointed from the mainland toward Taiwan should be removed. In response to that, the president turned his back on Taiwan. That was an outrageously unprincipled position for a president of the United States to take.
But Senator Kerry wanted to get back in.
Joe, surely you would agree with me that they should not be encouraged or allowed to declare independence.
Yes, because that's the nuance. But this was not a declaration of independence by the Taiwanese. This was a call for a referendum on whether the Chinese should remove the missiles from across the Taiwan Straits. And for the president, when China griped about it, to knuckle under, that's not what the leader of the greatest democracy in the world does.
You're listening to NPR's radio-only debate with six Democratic presidential candidates. More of the issues and more of your emails after the break. I'm Neil Conan in Des Moines. This is an NPR News special.